mentioned earlier, we have a slight change in our normal meeting times. Next Sunday is Christmas Eve. We'll have our regular service in the morning like we usually do with Sunday school and worship, but we will not have a service here next Sunday night. Our evening service will be canceled. We know there's so many things going on with families and traveling at that time, and just want to allow families to be involved in that. And similar to what we did last year when it was on Christmas Sunday, it was on Christmas Day, so no evening service next Sunday night. Want to make sure you know that. If anybody's coming in to be with you next weekend, they know that as well. So let them be aware. We're thankful for your presence. As we've said, there is a lot of travel this time of year. We pray for those who are away from us and those who are with us. We're thankful for your presence this morning. I have just a few more lessons left on our one-word series that we've been doing all year, and it should end right on the 31st, the last Sunday of this year. And thankful for your interest in that. Hopefully it's been a beneficial series to you as we've just looked at a different word from the Bible each week and looked at the definition of it, trying to make application to our lives. And again, we've mentioned before about the new book that's out on His Word, and you can buy online at thejenkinsinstitute.com, and those are $7. I won't be using those this year in 2018 like I did this year, but those are just good books to have. A devotional book, about five articles actually one article per chapter. It's His Word, so we study the New Testament. It's going to Matthew through Revelation. And so that's how that book is designed for this next year. But you can use that however you want to. And remember, those books don't have dates, so you can use either book for a study through the year as part of your personal devotion. I think it'll be beneficial to you that way. Let's go to our Father in prayer before our lesson. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning that we are alive, that we have been blessed by You in this life. We know that every good and perfect gift is from You, that all the things that we have are not of our own creation, but You have made everything that we see. We have simply combined these things and put them together and cut them and shaped them and molded them into things that are useful for us. And we're thankful for the minds that we have to do that, the talents that You've given people to be able to help the people around them, to serve them in these ways. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for Your Spirit. We're thankful for the church. We're thankful for families. In this time of year, we're thinking more about our families, thinking more about those who are extended family and people we probably only see a few times a year. So we're thankful for this period of fellowship that we have with family in that way. We know that this time of year is not always joyful for many people. We pray that Your hand be upon those who may be suffering or hurting and to some degree during these times. Bless our study this morning. May we open our hearts and minds to Your Word and grow in our faith. Continue to love us, strengthen us, give us mercy and grace. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are looking at the word Father this morning. Now, you think back to Father's Day earlier in the year, so we've already done this. Well, you've noticed we're in a section of words now dealing with the nature of God. So we're not talking so much about earthly fathers. We'll mention a few things about that, but mainly talking about God being our Father and what that means for us. You see the first use of the word Father way back in Genesis when God said that man will leave his mother and father, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's the first time we see anything about earthly father. And that's interesting because Adam and Eve didn't have an earthly father, but of course God knew they would have children and so forth, that people after them would have fathers and mothers. And said, that's got to be a separation that takes place. You have to leave them and have to be joined to the next person to start your own family. But then we, of course, in our study today, are talking about our Heavenly Father. And we can look in both Testaments and seeing that God is referred to as a father. In Psalm 68, verse 5, the psalmist says, He is the father of the fatherless. We know fatherlessness is an issue today, an issue in any culture, really. But the Bible says, the psalmist says, with God, He is our spiritual father. He can be our father even for those who have no earthly father. And we know that when Jesus was asked about how to pray, He referred to as the Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Respected is your name. Our Father who art in heaven. I know that's how, again, giving us a model, an example of prayer, that's how we begin most of our prayers, referring to God as our Father. It's interesting that Jesus referred to God as His Father 17 times in the Gospels. So often He referred to God that way. So if Jesus did, I know that's something that we should do. That is a characteristic of God. But Jesus also said, and I think it helps us understand that relationship of us having God as our Father. He said in John chapter 8, verses 42 through 44, that the devil is also a father to many. And in describing those who have gone the way of the world, describing those who are away from God, He said the devil is their father. Now we read those verses and say, oh, well yeah, I mean somebody that lives apart from God, somebody lives for themselves, somebody lives in a life of sin, oh yeah, I know what he means by that. It means that the devil is really influencing all that they do. And I can see that in their life, I can see the fruit of their life. Okay, well, if Jesus described the devil that way as the father of those who live a life of sin, then when we refer to God as our Father, shouldn't that affect how we live? If you pray and say, Father, shouldn't that be closely describing your relationship with Him and that your life should be pervasively godly? If Jesus looked at Satan and said, well, there's these people, and clearly Satan is their father. We also see in the Bible that fathers or ancestors of people are called spiritual fathers. We look back and we might refer to those who've lived in our past as our faithful fathers, not connected physically, but some on the earth who are, I would say, described as our fathers. That's an Old Testament phrase that's used quite a bit. And Jesus also, just thinking about the word father and how it's used in the Bible, He also said in Matthew 23 that He said, don't call anyone on this earth father. You only have one Father, the one in heaven. When it comes to spiritual matters, that we don't look at anyone else and say Father. And that makes sense. That we would only have one spiritual father. That you could not have two. And He was saying that in the context of His criticism of the Pharisees, who were so hypocritical in how they lived their lives. And they were very prideful of the fact that they were given special names, that people look at them and say, Rabbi, look, there goes the rabbi. And they, you know, stood up straight when they got that name. And it said, Jesus said, they sat in the special seats in the assembly, and they liked that. And people would look at them as, that's our spiritual father right there. And Jesus said, don't do that. No one else is your father spiritually but the one in heaven. Don't give that designation to anyone on earth. And we see the seriousness of that, simply using that term. And the way Jesus taught about that. I want us to talk this morning about how God shows His fatherhood. If God is our Father, the Bible affirms that. Jesus 17 times said, God is the Father. Okay, well, how does He show that? How does God demonstrate that He is our Father? I think the first thing we can look at this morning, the first point, and how God shows that He is our Father is that, well, simply, we are His children. And that kind of goes without saying. And in the book of Ephesians, if you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians, there's several verses in this book that really teach us a lot about God being the Father. And in chapter 1, verse 2, just simply says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." We also know from Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, we are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. How do we become His son? How do we become His children? How do we say Father in our prayers? Through our faith, and we know there's a lot of things involved in demonstrating our faith. In Galatians 3:26, we're all sons through faith. And Paul here in Ephesians 1, verse 2, says that we have peace from God our Father. It shows, and we mentioned this just a moment ago, that we have a relationship with God since He is our Father. You have a relationship with your earthly father, whoever that may be, and I know some of you may not have had a good relationship with your earthly father, your physical father. But you could say, I have a bad relationship with him, I have a good relationship with him. Whatever the case is, you say, look, I didn't sign up to have this person to be my father. It was just the way it was. And I have a good or bad relationship with him. When it comes to matters of faith, when it comes to spiritual matters, when we are baptized into Christ, when we have faith in the Lord, we give our lives to him, we have a relationship with him. Father, son, that's a relationship. We are his children. And we can miss that in our daily walk with the Lord. We can forget that very easily. Because we say we get a sense that God is really far away. And God is really powerful. And God is really out there somewhere. And my life is very small. And I'm just one person. And I can see this person and touch this person. But God's way out there in the distance somewhere. And so it doesn't feel like you have a relationship with him. It doesn't feel like a relationship that you have with somebody else. Well, Jesus would disagree with you. I don't see anything that Jesus said where he felt like God was way out there and didn't really know him and he didn't really have a relationship with him. Look at how Jesus prayed right before he was crucified, right before he was arrested. He's praying as if he's talking to somebody who's sitting right beside him. He's not saying things to some distant entity that he knows nothing about. He clearly says, I have a relationship, and he prayed that we would be united with one another and united with Christ in the same way Jesus is with God. He said, I want everyone to be that closely connected. I want people to have, all my disciples, to have a great relationship with God. And I know it's a hard concept because of how big God is and how small we are, but yet the Bible says that is in fact the case. How does God show that He's the Father? The first thing is because, well, we're simply His children. And He is the best Father. For all of you who say, I didn't have a very good father, which is always the case in a room full of any number of people, you can be assured that God is a better father. God is the best. For all of you who say, I had a great father. My father was the best. Your heavenly father's better. That'll always be the case because the best fathers in the world are still capable of sin and have sinned. They still make mistakes. They still do the wrong thing. They didn't do everything perfectly. That'll never be true of God, the Father in heaven. God shows His fatherhood by the fact that we are His children. Number two, God shows that He is the Father because He is the source of blessings. Again, back to Ephesians in verse 3. chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What did James say in James chapter 1? For every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from heaven, coming down from Him, from the Father of lights. And he goes on to say that in Him there's no variation or shifting shadow. Everything that comes from God is what we need. He gives us every good and perfect gift. He is the source of all blessings. He made the world. He made you. He knows you. Everything that you have in life, every food, all the food that you eat, the air that you breathe, all around you comes from God. And so often we credit things to other people. It's not that we shouldn't say thank you for things that people do or acknowledge the talent of people or any of that. It's simply saying that I also know that what this person has, he got from God. And any good thing that that person has over there, he got from God or she got from God. And we can also look at it differently and say this person has squandered the blessings they got from God. This person was given so much talent. This person was giving so many resources. And they didn't do anything with it. God gave them so much, and this person gave so little in return. God would be a cruel God if He didn't give you anything. You would say that about your earthly father, wouldn't you? You would say, my father wasn't any good. He never gave us anything. He didn't give us what we needed in life. We would all define that as a bad father. Well, God, our Heavenly Father, didn't just give us a little bit. He didn't just give us a small amount. He gave us necessity, food, clothing, shelter. And then He gave us everything else on top of that. That's why even thousands of years ago, the psalmist could say, my cup runneth over. And he said, because of all the blessings God gave me in the past, my cup runneth over. What did he say about the future? Surely, absolutely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because God has been so good to me, because He's the best Father, as I walk into the future, all of that's going to go with me. He fulfilled His promises in the past. He's going to keep doing those things as long as I live. Unfortunately, there are many people today that say, my Heavenly Father did great for me in the past, but I don't think He's going to do much for me in the future. I don't think He's going to be with me when I start this new job, when I have to move to this new place, when I marry this person. I don't think he's really going to be with me, and I'm scared to death about this. I'm going to be abandoned by God. God, is this bad thing happened in my life, something I didn't want to happen. And that was His fault, and He's just going to keep doing those things to me in the future. David did not see his life that way when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. He said, I've been blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed, and I'm going to keep being blessed. Because God doesn't stop being who He is. Why look for blessings in other places when God is the source of our blessings? Why be consumed with and obsessed with finding true contentment and happiness in all of these other things the world offers? Why go after the things that Satan puts in front of us and say, well, that's, you know, go this way. This is really going to create contentment for you. When God has done so much, why would we go another way Why would we try to find, so to speak, another father? Another source. He shows that he's our father, first because we are his children, second because he's the source of blessings, and then third because he gives us access to him. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. We can move back to verse 17. Look at verses 17 and 18 of Ephesians chapter 2. And he came to preach peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have our access in one spirit to the Father. When we're in Christ, we have access to God the Father. We have access to him. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. We are his. How does he show that he's our Father? Because we have access. We can approach him. How could we call him a father and have a relationship with a father who says, you can't get near me. I don't listen. You're over there, I'm over here. We're not connected. That would make no sense to call somebody a father who was disconnected and we could not approach. Good fathers always listen. Good earthly fathers are ones that always listen. Good earthly fathers always communicate. Good earthly fathers say, whatever happens in this life, no matter how far you go, no matter how much you contradict and rebel against what you were taught when you lived in our house, when you call, I'm going to answer the phone. I want to listen. Because, you know why? The next phone call might be the one where you say, I'm going to change. I'm going to stop running the other way. That's why you have to keep answering the phone. It might be that next call that changes everything. God the Father, our Heavenly Father, always listens because that might be the time, the prayer, where we say, I'm coming back. I've changed. I've wandered away, but now I'm with you. Because he's not going anywhere. He's not going to change. God doesn't change. Noah, a preacher friend of mine whose son is as far away from the Lord as somebody can be. Not just in what he does, but what he believes. And they've had to make changes as far as their relationship. They've had to make changes as far as where he lives and some things they do just within the family because the father, my friend, says, this is the line that's going to be drawn and there's some things we're not going to support you in doing. And that's his right and that's his responsibility to do that. But he also said that anytime you want to call, anytime that you want to talk about things or whatever, I'm going to be here and I'm going to listen. You're not going to get cut off. Even though we have to have some boundaries, even though we have to have some limits. Because you're making decisions that are contrary to God's will. He gives us access to him. How does he show that he's the Father? We are his children. He's the source of our blessings. And we have access to him. What's very interesting about the story of the prodigal son, some of you may have already been thinking about that, the great parable that Jesus told in which you can have a lesson about the son, you can have a lesson about the brother, you can have a lesson about all sorts of things in that parable. That's why it's so famous. It's so rich in what it can teach. But if we're talking about our spiritual father, and Jesus was, I think, primarily teaching about the Father, and that's in that parable, I want us to notice just a couple of minutes some things about that parable, that lesson that we learned about God the Father. We won't read the whole thing. You know the parable very well. First of all, we see that God the Father blessed His sons. In that parable, we know that He blessed His sons because one son says, "I want my inheritance." He had enough to give an inheritance to his sons, his two sons. So it's clear in the scenario that Jesus discusses there that He's good to His sons. He blesses them, and that's exactly how God the Father blesses us. He gives us everything that we need. We've talked about that. He is the source of our blessings. In the parable of the prodigal son, we also notice, and maybe we skip this part, that the father gave the son choices. He let his sons make choices. When the son comes to him and says, "I want my inheritance now," he doesn't say, "Well, you don't have the right to make that choice. You don't." That's an impossible thing. We have an understanding that the sons are old enough to live on their own, to do their thing, so to speak. And so the son comes to him and says, "I want my inheritance." And so the father basically says, "Well, okay. You make choices." Our Heavenly Father lets us make choices. He does not program us. We're not robots. We've talked before about the fact that if we don't have free choice, if we don't have free will, then we really can't have a relationship because it's all automatic. It's programmed. We're robotic. But the father of the prodigal said, "You have a choice to make, and this is a choice that you're making. I'm not going to stop you from doing that because just like I have choices to make, you have choices." It'd be kind of hypocritical of the father to say, "I can do what I want in this life, but you can't." I don't think we want to have any fathers in this, earthly fathers in this life who raises children and says, "Yeah, I've trained you to be independent, do your own thing, to have your own family, but I'm still going to put rules around you to say, dictate what you do. Oh yeah, I can do whatever I want to do, but I'm not going to let you. I'm going to make sure I put some boundaries on what you do." We wouldn't think that that's good for any father to do. He lets his sons make choices. And the third thing we see about the father in the parable of the prodigal son was that he despised the sin and yet loved the sinner. At no point did the father in that parable get into a discussion about what his son did while he was away. When the son came back, he didn't say, "Well, now list for me all the things that you've done. Let me hear about the prostitutes," because that was mentioned in the parable. "Let me hear about how the things that you bought and the way that you wasted your money. How much were all those things that you bought? What did you do with my inheritance? Do you know how long I worked for you to have that much money and that much inheritance?" He didn't get into that. He simply said, "You're back, you're home." And that's all that matters. And the son thought, "I'm just going to go back and be a slave." But yet the father said, "No, you're going to come back and we're going to celebrate the fact that you're back. That is what matters most." We know a lot about our Heavenly Father by the parable of the Good Samaritan. He blessed his sons. He let them make choices. And he made it clear that he loved them, even though he was obviously not supporting any sinful thing they were doing. Is God your Heavenly Father? That's really the question today. Remember with Galatians 3:26, we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. A lot of people, even in church, even those who are Christians, aren't very sure of that. They aren't very sure that God is their Father. They're not very sure that they're saved. They're not very sure of their condition. It's said that there was a kind of an auditorium adult Sunday school class once, and the teacher said, if you were to die tomorrow, how many of you believe that you would go to heaven? It's a room full of Christians. So there are 85 people in the room. 40 said they weren't sure they were saved. Roughly half. A little less than half. Why would they say that? There's a number of reasons why people would say that. But if you think in a room of Christians, then you still have roughly half the group says, I don't know. Don't know if I'll make it. You then have to wonder, why do you feel that way? Clearly you are in a Christian assembly, you're thinking about the Lord, you are spiritually minded. What has caused you to come to that conclusion? Think of it this way. That same person who says, I don't know if I'm saved, I'm sure prays Father in their prayer. How would God think to look down and say, I'm this person's father, but they don't think they are my son? I'm their father. They even call me father. And yet, they don't think that I'm their son, that they are my son. Isn't that strange? Wouldn't that be unusual? Think of it just in those terms. They call me father, but they don't think that they are my son. My daughter, if you want to think of it that way. What does your heavenly father and your earthly father have in common? You ever thought of that? You say, well, nothing. The Bible's clear about that. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. That's what Isaiah said about God. God doesn't think like I do, doesn't live like I live, doesn't have any connection in that way. What does God the Father and your earthly father have in common? You could probably spend the rest of the day thinking about that. I know one thing that they have in common without exception. Without exception, and I can even apply that to earthly fathers that are not Christians. There's one thing they both have in common. Earthly fathers, your heavenly father, both want you to go to heaven. Take any father who believes anything and say, you want your children to go to heaven, I know they're all going to say yes. And I know that your heavenly father feels the same way. 1 Timothy chapter 2. For God wants all men to be saved. All men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The Bible says God wants every person on this earth to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Your earthly father and your heavenly father both want you to go to heaven. Question is, do you want to go to heaven? Because there's a lot of people that would say that, yes, I want to go to heaven, but refuse to do the things the Bible says you need to do to go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to do those things? Do you feel like you need to do those things? The Bible says you need to do those things. Now, have you? That's really the question. Have you done what the Bible says you need to do to contact the blood of Christ that was shed at the cross 2,000 years ago? Have you repented of your sins, turned away from them, changed your mind about those things that are sinful? Have you confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? Have you been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? That you'll have those sins washed away and you begin walking with the Lord and continually having those sins washed away? If you haven't done those things, we encourage you to do so today. If you need prayers today, we will pray with you and try to help you in any way that we can. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing together.